We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
It is March 10th, 2013. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I've been chomping at the bit to be back on the air the last 4 or 5 days. I have not taken off 7 shows in a row in about 5 years, best we can tell. But I took off Friday before last, right through to today. Now, I was obviously working while I was on the road with my family, and I probably filed, I don't know, something like 8 or 9 video reports on the road, wrote a news article with Paul Watson as well, and worked on some other things behind the scenes, but I have not been here in the last 7 broadcasts. And I've had a really good chance to have some retrospective time to sit back and look at the state of the world, but also the state of this broadcast. It's always restive and important to take off. So again, thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank the crew for doing a great job while I was gone, and Mike Adams sitting in, Aaron Dykes, the rest of the reporters who also filled in with him on, Thursday, and Catherine Albrecht, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who did 3 of the broadcasts while I was gone, and Chris Alanese that did that best of for you last Sunday. And again, just the entire crew, John Bound, CJ, everybody. Okay, that said, wow. There are just some huge news items that are hiding in plain view that we're going to be covering. And after I get into the latest attacks on the Second Amendment, the latest attacks on our economy to consolidate things for the globalist, a lot of really important tech news, some important TSA news, some extremely important geopolitical news as well, with riots going on all over the world, being funded and controlled by the globalists, mainly in Muslim controlled areas. After I get into all that, I'm going to break down in the second hour. I think it's important to cover our biggest news story in the second hour, because I always tend to put a lot of the most important news right up front, but then not cover it in detail. So I'm going to switch things around today and cover our top story that intersects, though. Everything intersects to understand how the globalists operate. Everything has a linkage in the philosophy, in the mindset. And if you really want to know how these people operate, this is going to be the broadcast for you. And I know I move quick because even the English language, though it's the most widely used and also probably the deepest language out there because it adopts other languages, it falls short when my little humble brain is trying to assemble a very complex situation. And I've likened it many times to describing a beautiful woman. Somebody says, well, what does she look like? Oh, she had electricity in her eyes. Her hair was, you know, dark black and flowing, and just her curves and her spirit and the smell. Well, tell me more. Well, you know, show me a picture. Be like someone trying to describe the Grand Canyon who's never seen it, or seeing a photo of it versus being there. Okay, it's a big wide canyon with scrub brush and trees growing at its edge and miles across, and it makes you catch your breath. Well, describe more. Now, those are good things we're trying to describe. Bad things, wicked things that have built up over thousands of years and been honed and been turned into scientific algorithms. One can grasp it, just as you can grasp the first time you fell in love. You know what it was like, other people don't. You have to experience the Matrix to know what it's like. But there's been some major cracks in the Matrix, and we're going to break those down when we come back. It's now coming out that Al-Qaeda publicly works for the government.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Thank you so much for joining us on this live 10th of March, 2013 worldwide broadcast. I am your host, Alex Jones, and we are here every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, back weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, blasting out on over 150 AM and FM affiliates, simulcast on XM 166 on the weekday show. They have not yet picked up the Sunday. Give them a call. Tell them you want to hear it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, where to start here? I've been gone for the last week, but working a lot from the road, filing video reports and writing news articles for Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I was planning to come back this morning to Austin, Texas, but I came back yesterday instead. And the story I'm going to tell a little bit later in the hour is a personal story, but it also affects those of you that support the First Amendment. But it's a window into the mindset of thuggery and bullies and government and oppression and corporate oppression, and how laying down to corruption is the road to serfdom, the road to enslavement, the road to feudalism. And just briefly, I'll tell you, I got a call Friday evening by Max Cabrera, who heads up PlanetInfoWars.com, our popular social network for people that love freedom worldwide. From dating to firearms, it's all on there, PlanetInfoWars.com. You set up your own profile if you'd like. And he had an idea to hand out 10,000 free copies of InfoWars magazine during South by Southwest, one of the biggest film interactive deals in the country. And I've been a speaker at South by Southwest. I've, you know, been involved with it some. I think overall it's a good event. It's a little bit exploitive of some of the yuppies and wannabe, you know, stars and media people that are coming here actually looking for a job. But the point is, so I mean, nothing against South by Southwest overall, but he called me and said the police are writing us tickets, handing out your magazines on city streets, and they're saying they were ordered to by the conference. And I said, well, the conference isn't God. I mean, they don't own the sidewalks. And then the police started refusing to do it. And I actually had a chance to talk to them and talk to local CBS KI. They interviewed the police, who said, yeah, we're not going to follow this directive from the code enforcement, who told them, don't let InfoWars hand out magazines when everybody else was handing out stuff. I mean, my God, they have women out there handing out massage parlor cards, you know, basically prostitution cards and stuff, or, you know, come to our bar, come to our topless bar, whatever. But all that was okay, but InfoWars wasn't okay. And so I went ahead and drove in yesterday morning instead of driving back in from Galveston, where I was down with my family before spring break. I like to take off when everybody else is actually at work so that, you know, there's nobody around. That's just how I work. I tend to zig when people zag. So I came back in early, and I talked to the code enforcer. People got their name. They said, yeah, we're ordered that you're not even allowed to have InfoWars bumper stickers on your car and park in a parking meter downtown. I mean, I actually talked to the guy, got his name, filed a report yesterday on it. It was so bizarre. But then when I got down there, it was quite an experience to watch the intimidation fold in on itself. Because before I ever came down here, within hours of the police first following orders, they revolted and said, we're not going to do this. There's no law. This is a misappropriation of a U.S. Constitution via the state constitution and an Austin municipal code. So I learned from K.I., who actually did the interview and had the text of what the cops had said when I pulled up. K.I. ran over and said, well, it's too late to have you on now. You're supposed to be here 20 minutes ago, but we talked to the cops confirming your story. They've already refused to give tickets or arrest, you know, your crew. You have a First Amendment, obviously. I guess I'm already telling the story. It just shows, though, that I had to say no, the police had to say no, but they didn't stop there. My street team comes back later and says, oh, my gosh, they just sent out bouncers on the street. You know, big guys with shaved heads. I don't think it's people with shaved heads. You know, big guys saying, you're not allowed to be out here. Watch it. I mean, right out of Goodfellas. So it just shows how anything starts to try to grab power and push people around. So I went down there and had a quick impromptu rally just off the website, you know, posting. Over 100 people showed up over the hour and a half. It was really more than that. People would come and go, and you know, people had parking nearby, people at the event. Hundreds came by and voiced their support. I guess I'm already covering this now, so I'll just finish up with the story and then get into all the geopolitical. But it's an example of how, at first, some of the media people, when I was driving back to Austin talking to them, were like, well, what's the big deal? And I'm like, what's the big deal? A private group now says they own the city streets of Austin and the sidewalks, and that we can't have bumper stickers on our car. I talked to the code enforcers when they were threatening to give tickets, or and we didn't follow those, have the police arrest people, until the police said no. And I'm like, well, what's the problem? Well, your car's parked down the street. It's got InfoWars bumper stickers on it. And I said, so that's not allowed. And they said, well, yes, that's not allowed. And I said, well, what's the code? Well, it's this code. And I said, I've looked that code up. That's like hot dog stands blocking the sidewalk. You're using a right-of-way code here that I just can't pull over on the right-of-way on a highway and sell whatever I want. And I said, we're handing out free magazines on the sidewalk. You don't own that sidewalk. And then I talked to some of the police on the phone. They said, we agree. We're going to talk to our superiors. The point is that South by Southwest ordered code enforcement out there. They then ordered the police to give us tickets. They did give warning tickets and then revolted and said, we're not even going to do that. And by the time I got down there last night, the cops were coming over, getting pictures with me, saying, we agree. I asked the cops, do you support the First Amendment? They were putting their thumbs up. So, and they were laughing at it. But at first, it was very serious. Then my crew, as I'm leaving, was down at 6th Street. I was down at the convention center on 1st and 2nd. They run over and they go, oh, my gosh, you know, big muscle guys with shaved heads and came over and said, we better watch it. We're not allowed to be out here. And man, let me tell you, I'm not looking for trouble, but you want to punch my buttons, have some big thug come over and tell me I can't be on the sidewalk. I mean, I'm not looking for trouble, but you just absolutely punch my buttons right there. And, you know, I turn into Yosemite Sam. I mean, I just do not know what to say about this country. But that's what's happened with the free speech zones and the checkpoints and all of it. None of us really want to live under this. Police don't want their kids living under this. You don't want to live under this. The bureaucrats, most of them, aren't bad. They don't want to live under it. Citizens don't want to live under it. But a few elitist, the guys with all the private jets paid for with government contracts and all the insiders, they love it. And they use bureaucracy to create monopolies and shut down their competition. And I'd always heard the stories about the Chronicle that runs and owns, you know, Lewis Black, that, you know, started the South by Southwest Interactive and music thing 20-something years ago. I'd always heard the stories. Well, I've even seen them in the news, where if you try to have in your own parking lot of your bar an event with music during South by Southwest, 20 miles away, I mean, they'll go outside the city to the, you know, Round Rock. I've talked to people and show up and say, anybody that sings or plays at this event, you'll never be involved with our event. I mean, that's, let me tell you, that's uncivil. And by uncivil, there's serious civil penalties. And I'm thinking about, just because I don't like thugism, you know, some of the cable people and others tried to take over Access TV, even though I wasn't even doing shows down there anymore. I was airing my radio show on there, you know, slash video, about 6-7 years ago, I guess 8 years ago now. And I went to a city council meeting, telecommunications meeting, and they came over and threatened me. In fact, one guy came over and said, I'm a former Marine when my camera was off. I will kill you if you don't stop trying to stop the shutdown of Access TV. And I said, that's it. This is obviously, something's going on here. This is obviously criminal. So I hired a private investigator, did some other stuff, went to some meetings, bluffed people and said, I know you're stealing money, got them to admit it. And then they only sent the director to prison, to Huntsville, supposed to get like 7 years, only spent a few years in jail. And the city shut it down because they were involved higher up. We know, you know, tip of the iceberg. But I mean, I'm not playing games here. I know the law. I know how things work. And I got bigger fish to fry, but I could get together with all the people that have been violated with a class action suit. And see, that's how mafias start. They come in, they get big. Corporations can do it. Government can do it. And that's an example of literally code enforcers, police, and when they wouldn't violate the Constitution, guys coming over, you know, 6'5" guys that weigh 300 pounds going, better get off the street, ladies, and not hand out those magazines. You're not allowed down here. Watch it, lady. I mean, that is Chicago, New York mafia crap. When you stand up to tyranny, you have liberty. When you bend over, you're a slave. We'll be back with the news.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, my friends, we are back live. We got ZZ Top, born deep in the heart of Texas, bringing us in. Look, my job is to get you to understand the philosophies used by the corrupt, the oppressive, the monopoly men, so that you can navigate what's happening out there. Not just, oh, we're going to vote for Republicans, or we're going to vote for libertarians, or, you know, we're going to stand up against tyranny. Well, what does that mean? Standing up against tyranny means knowing what tyranny is. Okay, well, you know what basic tyranny is. I know I do. But it takes a lot of studying to know the tricks they play, the manipulations they engage in. And it turns out the establishment thinks you're so stupid, they write books and handbooks and brag. I mean, Karl Rove bragged to the New York Times. Yeah, we lie and make stuff up, but you'll go along with the new reality that we tell you about. And then Gibbs came out a few weeks ago, the former press secretary, and said, yeah, we lie to the public about things that publicly exist. It's the Wizard of Oz, and the reporters all laugh with him because the public doesn't know he's lying. They just, whoever's the fanciest, whoever's wearing the nicest tie, whoever is in the fanciest studio, they must be telling the truth. There's not 2 billion bullets that have been bought. They're not buying giant armored vehicles for Homeland Security, even though it's all public, all available on the federal websites, the purchases they've made. They'll just have Politico and 15, 16 other publications this week come out and say, I'm a liar, and Sarah Palin is insane because she's quoting me, and that there are no bullets. And there are no armored vehicles, and we're liars. That's like saying that California doesn't exist or the moon doesn't exist. But let me tell you, for the dumbed-down masses of people out there, they sit back and laugh and go, ha, 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 ha. And Robert Gibbs came out and said hundreds of times, there are no drones. We're not killing anyone with drones. There is no drone program. I mean, I played it 2 weeks ago here on the Sunday show. I guess I could play it again. Can you guys cue up Gibbs? Thanks. I know I have you like 20 clips. We'll play an old one here. Because people hear that and they go, oh, yeah, right. No, no, no. And they all laugh. See, it's funny to them. See, it's not funny to me. And I get upset when I'm told I can't have an InfoWars bumper sticker on my car downtown because a code enforcer says no advertising allowed downtown and uses a code about blocking right-of-ways and tells cops to enforce a fraudulent code. I get in the car and drive back to town and go down and bullhorn them and dare them to arrest me. But I show up and the cops are like, we already refused. We know they're tyrants. Hey, let me get a photo with you. You see, that's when tyranny fails, is when they cannot convince the enforcers to go along with it and when the people don't lay down. Because if we don't see, I later learned the police in Austin, that's why I'm talking about this instead of all this big international, national news, because it's a microcosm of everything else. That I sent my crew out with a street team they hired, thousands of dollars, to hand out 10,000 copies of a free magazine. We sell them in bulk at cost at InfoWarsShop.com, but we're handing out 10,000 to all the film people to wake them up about the police state. The cover of the magazine has an American flag on it. And it says, inside the mind of the establishment, and breaks down all the tyranny and the attack on free speech. Oh, isn't that funny? And how to save America. Boy, that's really evil stuff. So the establishment is so freaked out about that, they order the cops to go give tickets. The cops refuse and give warnings within hours before they even knew I was coming. They started refusing. The code enforcers then refused. So then people claiming that they were with South by Southwest came and confronted my street team, big guys, and said, you better get off the street. I mean, again, that is a microcosm, a tiny window into the mindset of everything we're facing. And so, Robert Gibbs, we have that clip?
When I went through the process of becoming press secretary, one of the things, one of the first things they told me was, you're not even to acknowledge the drone program. You're not even to discuss that it exists. Wow. And so I would get a question like that, and literally I couldn't tell you what major asked, because once I figured out it was about the drone program, I realized I'm not supposed to talk about it. And but here's what's inherently crazy about that proposition. You're being asked a question based on reporting of a program that exists.
Right.
So you're the official government spokesperson,
exactly,
acting as if the entire program, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
So at first, I'm talking to the code enforcer over the phone, driving back to Austin. He's like, what's the big deal? You know, I've heard your show. Come on, just work with us. And I'm like, you don't want stickers on our car in America. And he goes, I'm just following orders. And the cops are there with him, because I'm talking to my crew off and on. And I just said, well, you can do whatever you want, crew, but I just keep handing them out and tell them, go ahead and give you tickets. And then finally, the police just said, we're not going to do this. And again, within that little story, if we would have just gone along and the police would have just gone along, that would have been North Korean level tyranny in the town where I live, in Austin, Texas, you know, named after Stephen F. Austin, one of the founders of this great state. Travis County, named after William Barrett Travis. Can you imagine if you told William Barrett Travis, there'll come a day where you can't hand out pamphlets in Texas, he'd say, oh, is that Santa Ana? Is that the dictator? I mean, only dictators act like this. This is outrageous. And if we just comply and go along, it's over. Take the establishment dinosaur media, and I'm going to come back and get into all the news, and believe me, it's important. Rand Paul gets up on, what, Wednesday night, and he filibusters for 13 hours, and the media tried to ignore it. And he had to filibuster because as a senator, in the approval of the new CIA director, because, again, the House and the Senate is the legislative arm. It's actually the boss of the executive. It creates the laws. It confirms the officers and the directors and the cabinet people. The president's not a dictator, at least it's supposed to be. So he's like, I want the details. I want answers on domestic drone programs that you're admittedly launching. Give me the information. And they said, it's classified. You can't have it. It's classified. I'm a U.S. senator. The U.S. Intelligence Committee on the Senate can't get this. We're your boss. Definitely co-equal. But control the laws and the approval of who's in charge, so the president can't just put all his people in and take over. So in this area, we're above the president. Give me that. And they said, no, we're not. In fact, they wouldn't even respond for several months. So Rand Paul had to go filibuster for 13 hours. And so they released the memos, and it said, yes, we can kill Americans, and we're planning to bomb Americans, basically, and we'll weaponize the drones and $45 billion to do it. And then when that memo came out a day later, Holder puts out a memo saying, but we're not going to do that, and we're not planning to do that. The point is they stonewalled Rand Paul and the entire Senate and the House Intelligence Committee. They've asked for all this stuff. They've asked for Obama's continuity of government martial law provisions they put in and have been told you can't see it. They should impeach him immediately. You're going to tell the intelligence committees they can't see the national plan that's supposed to be developed by Congress and executed? The Congress is the football coach. Okay? The American people are the owners. The Congress is the football coach, and the president is the quarterback executing his orders. He's not the owner of the team. We'll be right back with big news. Stay with us.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
So what the social engineers do, and you know this, everybody knows this, they incrementally just take more and more, and they'll deny something when you bring it up. Hey, why do I see giant tanks driving around in checkpoints? Oh, that's not happening. You're like, yeah, I got a video of it. No, it's not. And then later, once the public's conditioned, they admit it. Or there's no death panels in the Obamacare bill. They're like, well, here's the subsection. You're a conspiracy theorist. 1 week after it passed, cover of Newsweek, the case for killing Granny and death panels. And then now you, I listen to Democrat radio sometimes, and they're just like, death panels are great. We need them. I mean, come on. It's the way to go. Hey, we don't want your guns. Everything's fine. Go back to sleep as they introduce bills at every state level, ban mags over 7 rounds, raiding gun owners' houses all over the country. I mean, I got a stack of that news I haven't gotten to yet. It is bad. While saying, yeah, the crazy conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones, the Southern Poverty Law Center wrote a letter to the Justice Department, which it's a joke. That's their surrogate mouthpiece. So the Justice Department can say more radical things, but then say it's not them. It's Justice Department on record for 30-something years. And they're like, Alex Jones and others, they're claiming that the government wants to take the guns. It's a conspiracy theory. That's a quote. And we think that there's about to be terror attacks. I mean, think of how radical that is to imply that myself, I'm listed, and others are the Constitution Party, Oath Keepers, returning veterans, I'm reading here, are going to blow up federal buildings. And you're like, well, McVeigh did. Folks, anybody that knows about that, I've interviewed the police that were the first responders, the ones they didn't kill, like Terrence Yakey, Cop of the Year. They blew that thing sky high. They declared national security on the surveillance tapes. I talked to the FBI agents that was in the LA Times who said, we saw the tapes. It shows multiple men with McVeigh. And I've talked to the head of HUD, Jane Graham, who was there. It was famous federal agents who she saw on TV basically responding to the aftermath. She's like, that's who was running the wires and planting the gray sticks of butter. I've interviewed the police, like Mr. Browning and others on this show, who saw the feds involved and who had them come to their offices in the Oklahoma City office, into the sergeant's office, and said, you and your wife are dead if you don't shut up about what you saw. Oh, yeah, the right wing's going to blow up federal buildings. Give me a break, folks. Let me tell you who's going to blow up federal buildings. The global crime syndicate that seized this country and controls our government. Our government didn't bomb Oklahoma City. Our government didn't carry out 9/11. Our government has been hijacked, and there are criminal cells, global corporate mafia cells within the CIA, the FBI, and everything else staging this stuff or hiring provocateurs. So my point is, you're not going to get freedom by cowering over this. You're not going to get freedom by cowering to this, okay? The only future we've got is standing up. You know why we have so much wealth? Why 4% of the world, that's the American population, until the 70s had half the wealth. At one point, it was 57%. Look this up. 50s, just type in U.S. has half the world's wealth, and you'll see the articles. 57% of the world's wealth owned by a gigantic fat middle class, the fattest, biggest middle class the world's ever seen. Champion middle class. Fully 45% up to 50% of the population, middle class, upper middle class. Now it's down to like 25%. And you know why? We weren't free, but compared to other countries, we were super free. Super fly free. Because there wasn't a monopoly in this country. There were a few oligopolies and a few little monopolies, but not a total globalist monopoly. Where big corporations control government, they then take your tax money and pay it to them in corporate contracts and government contracts and bailouts. You don't have freedom, just like Rand Paul stood up and said, I'm going to filibuster till you give me the drone info. They gave it to him. They told me, my crew, we can't hand out magazines in Austin. Turned out by the time I showed up to get in their face, the cops had refused. That's a big victory just to do the right thing. It was like when I was at Bilderberg, they gave them orders to not let the demonstrators up in Virginia last year walk across the public driveway that is a public right-of-way, and the cops were told, arrest us. And I said, hey, you know the Virginia law says we can walk across there. He goes, I know, but I've been ordered special event. I said, you want your kids growing up in a country like that? He goes, well, they're watching us. My commanders are off those cameras right across the street in that mobile unit. They have a mobile trailer with cameras on it and microphones. And I said, oh, so now you're afraid to do the right thing. I said to the commander out there with like 60 cops out there on the SWAT team. And he goes, no, you're right. Okay, use the street. And then all the cops were smiling and giving us high fives and stuff. Just revolt and say no. No to North Korea. You're not a bunch of Dennis Rodmans. I haven't even talked about that yet. I was out of town. You know, going over there to a third generation hereditary dictator, over a million people starved to death or killed a year. You talk about total government, and he goes over there to make money. And it shows how pathetic the government ruling system is, that it's so empty, that it's such a husk, that the pathetic Kim Jong-un hugging some nobody, burnout, Z celebrity, bankrupt Dennis Rodman. I mean, this cult of celebrity is going to do something special for you. Let me just tell all the yuppies, I know that's how they control you, who grew up watching television 18 hours a day, and you think you're not somebody till you know celebrities. I have been at probably 50 top Hollywood parties, and I couldn't wait to get out up with them, just all the most famous people in them. I have been then at events, oh, let's go over to this person's house, and I'm like, I don't want to go. Let's watch a movie. You know, let's go play, you know, putt golf or something, because it's so empty. And I see how Madison Avenue and Wall Street and the corporate people and the Oscars and all of it controls the public with the cult of empty celebrity. You know who I want to meet? People that, you know, jump from the edge of space and you know, heat up like a meteorite coming into the atmosphere, or some mathematician or some firefighter that goes into a burning house and saves a kid and, you know, gets half their body burnt. That's who's interesting to me, is artists and people. There's a lot of people that I get, you know, giddy about meeting, incredible journalists, trailblazers. But the system knows that, and Edward Bernays set this up in the 20s, the nephew of Sigmund Freud. He admitted our heroes are inventors, scientists, trailblazers, explorers. That's why we were the highest IQ, highest education, smartest, most inventive, because people were into that. And they said, we've got to stop making that the icons. We got to dumb people down. So now it's all these stupid hip-hop people and burnout drughead rock and roll and Hollywood and all of that, and it's totally and completely empty. I mean, look at how empty the North Korean sycophant Communist Party is to sit there and get off glowing on power trips. Those power tripping looks the top communists have in their eyes are the same ones the politicians have. They're a bunch of crazy narcissists who are into totally dominating people and being on top. And if they've got to bring the whole country down to do it, they'll do it. If you've got to starve to death so they can live in a palace, they'll do it. Big government collectivism is the enemy. And they've got communist, socialist, and fascist varieties of it, but it all ends up becoming the same thing. And just to watch the sickening communist North Koreans groveling at pathetic celebrity is just the essence of everything I oppose. So here's the motto, and then I'm going to come back with the news. Stand up for your rights or lose them and be a slave. Act like a sheep, get eaten by wolves. Roll over to tyranny, you have no future. You want to truly be alive? Get animated. Realize you're empowered because you love liberty, and get in tyrants' faces and live for freedom and live for the truth, and you will be empowered, because that's what life is really all about, is being informed, not being a fool, not being a sucker, not being a schmuck, not being a mark, not being an idiot. And when we stop being pushovers, like our ancestors were, we'll become so wealthy, we'll become decadent slobs again. That's the problem. All of the incredible largesse, the prosperity, has turned us into this. Now we're losing the prosperity as we lose the liberty.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You've got to stand up for yourself or become a slave. I know that's simple, but a lot of profound things are simple. All over the world, people are demanding GMO labeling so you can know what you're eating if a fish has grasshopper genes in it, or if corn has insect genes in it, or bacteria genes in it, or virus RNA. And now Whole Foods, under pressure, is saying they're going to start by 2018 It's kind of like, we're going to leave Afghanistan by 2010, by 2012, by 2013, by 2014. But at least they're having to pay lip service. They're going to start trying to label GMO. First, they denied that there was any GMO in their stores. We went down with others and covered it. And it became big news the last few years. And then they had to admit that there was GMO in their food. First, they tried the stonewalling. Again, they always try that. No, 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 nothing to see here. These aren't the droids you're looking for. Move along, move along. The Force can have a powerful effect on the weak-minded. And I'm asking you to not be weak-minded. And I know you're not weak-minded. Let me tell you what's coming up in the next hour, because I've been gone for a week, and I've kind of gone off in 100 different directions and covered a lot of important information. But let me just tell you what's coming up. First off, here is the headline. In fact, you guys even show drudgereport.com. It's also up at Infowars.com, top story. On Drudge, it's the right-hand story. But I say Drudge because Drudge really can set the agenda in the media, and it's a big victory. It's a victory for myself after 12 years to see things like this. It's AFP, AP, Reuters, you name it. Afghan leader alleges U.S. Taliban colluding. Mohammad Karzai. And that's a Reuters article that Drudge is linked to. Now, I myself, I happen to know all about Mohammad Karzai, his brother, the biggest opium dealer in the world, till the West assassinated him because he wanted too big a cut, kind of like they shut up Manuel Noriega in Panama. I happen to know all the, I'm not bragging, I happen to know all the facts. I wish the general public knew about all this. Because I'm not saying Ahmadinejad is a good guy. I'm not, of Iran. I'm not saying Mohammad Karzai is a good guy of Afghanistan next door. What I am saying is that they are just their own little strong men in their area. The globalists are this larger constellation of above the law, diplomatic immune under UN treaty corporations who don't stand for America, who don't stand for Iran, who don't care about Afghanistan or Russia or China or Mexico or Venezuela or Nigeria for that matter. They care about their interest. And they hire assassination squads, they run drugs, they run kids, they run snuff films, it's all come out. The most vicious people in the world are the Fortune 50 or so that really own most of the Fortune 500 in interlocking directorates who are setting up a global government where you pay taxes through the IMF and World Bank and Ex-Im Bank and OECD directly to them. This is their world government. I mean, go watch Davos on C-SPAN. Go read their statements. I mean, they want $100 trillion in the next decade of Western tax money to fund their Bank of the World private world government. I mean, these are quotes. You can type into a search engine what I just said and pull up London Telegraph, Davos press releases. I mean, this is what they're building. But we're like Native Americans who'd never come across smallpox, so it didn't kill most Westerners, because Westerners that it was going to kill had already died. But it almost killed 60, 70, 80% of the natives that came in contact with it. It's the same thing. We're not used to a corporate takeover. We're not used to a global government mercenary takeover, where they buy off your governments and write laws to shut you down and control you but exempt themselves. The G20 in Pittsburgh was corporately run by a corporate office that commanded the police and the military, U.S. Army and police and a task force from all 50 states. And they arrested press. They went in universities and arrested people. They said daytime, nighttime curfew. We'll physically attack whoever we want. And when Rob Dew sued and won, my reporter, he was arrested for no reason on video, nonviolently on a hilltop, videotaping them attacking peaceful people. When that happened, under immunity laws, we couldn't sue the G20 consortium. We had to sue Pittsburgh, and he won. That was in the Associated Press when I looked that up. So let me tell you something. That's how real the world government is. That the corporation of South by Southwest, it appears, what the police and people said, had called to say we couldn't hand out magazines in downtown Austin or even have an InfoWars bumper sticker. Now, they said no today. That's just some little, you know, nothing bottom feeding Hollywood wannabe group. Imagine the mega bankers who make Ken Lay and Bernie Madoff look like good guys, who are involved in trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of fraudulent derivatives. They want a world government to back up their operations and to exempt them from all their unconstitutional oppressive laws used to consolidate power. And that's the heart of all this. So when I talk about Mohammad Karzai, the puppet president, the dictator with fake elections, that's on record, just like Hugo Chavez. But he's Western installed, on the board in the past of Unocal, big pipeline company, but he's his own gangster. And so the other gangsters have gotten mad at him, and they killed his brother, biggest opium dealer in the world a few years ago. You can look all this up. I'm going to play a special report in the next hour on this that I cut in 2011, breaking how Al-Qaeda and Taliban. Again, our media is saying, Karzai's saying, you can read his quotes. He says the bombs going off in Kabul are a way to keep U.S. and NATO forces there. Of course, he doesn't tell you because they want the $100-plus billion a year in opium coming out of there. Opium production in 2001 was 9% to 10% of world production out of Afghanistan. It's 93% in 2012. Last year's numbers. Look it up. That show people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. Just a 90-plus percent of opium production worldwide, Afghanistan. A nine-fold increase in just a few years. In fact, when troops started coming out saying, we grow the opium, we load it on planes, and they hit it in plain view. They had the Marines and Army come out and go, we do help grow the opium. It's to keep Al-Qaeda from getting it. But if your kid or you get caught with opium, folks, or even caught with a derivative, you know, legal prescription drug, you're going to jail. And the stuff, legal and legal, is shipped in by our so-called government. It's not our government. There it is. Afghanistan is still world's top opium supplier. And it goes on to say 90% of global supply. And what's the source on that? Christian Science Monitor. I love how they spin it. Afghan still world's top opium supplier, despite 10 years of U.S. war, U.S.-led war. That's why it went up. I mean, I can play Marines on video, Marine Corps colonel, saying, we grow the opium. I've talked to the troops. On air, you've heard them, who go, yeah, we load it on C-130s and fly to America. They land at Air Force bases and Army bases, and the colonels and generals get a cut of it, and then it rolls out on the streets for your daughter to OD, and then a cop, when they pull me over, says, got any drugs in the car? And I'm like, yeah, I got a cup of coffee right here, buddy. It's a drug. Leave me alone. Don't. I'm not playing your game anymore, okay? Now, why is this so groundbreaking that it's an AP, Reuters, AFP, you name it? In a provocative speech on Sunday, Karzai said the U.S. was in daily talks with the Taliban and that insurgent suicide attacks enabled the international military force to justify its presence in Afghanistan. Quote, the bombs that were detonated in Kabul and Khost were not a show of force. They were serving America, he said in a televised speech referring to two suicide blasts in which 19 people were killed. And this is one drug dealer, he's a drug dealer on record, fighting with the banker interest. See, there's no honor amongst these guys. U.S. troops are dying for it. We're paying for it. What, the Iraq war was a couple trillion? How much does the Afghan war cost conservatively? Over $1 trillion? You're paying so smack poppies can be grown and shipped in here and turned into heroin, purified into heroin out of opium. And, I mean, that is a fact. And then I see national neocons going, Alex Jones is a traitor, saying our government runs Al-Qaeda. Not our government. Criminal mega banks offshore run Al-Qaeda. Our government is putting Al-Qaeda in Libya, Syria. They're putting the Muslim Brotherhood in charge, burning churches and blowing things up. Right now, I've got a stack of news where Christians all over the world and U.S.-backed regimes are being killed. Our government right now, in Syria, in a two-year war, is putting Al-Qaeda in, burning churches, murdering Christians en masse. That's mainstream news, okay? The globalists run Al-Qaeda, and they use the threat to take our liberties, and the TSA and all of it. It's elementary. It's full-spectrum dominance. Wake up or be slaves. Hour number two coming up. I was right. Apologize to me.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back in the saddle again. In this segment and the next, I'm going to break down how big a deal it is to have Muhammad Karzai, who is a thug but put in by the West, come out and say, look, the U.S. government, that means criminal elements that run it, are staging terror attacks as a pretext to keep control here in Afghanistan of the opium. And that's what the full speech gets into. And it's the elephant in the room. The Taliban was hired in the late 70s, and then Al-Qaeda was created to take over the region. The West has always funded the radical Muslims. And again, I have this special report coming up. Guys, I hit print on my special report. It's Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon run, and I think that printer must be out of... It doesn't matter. I just want to plug this report. We come back and play it. Now, this is from 2011, March 31st, 2011. So that's 2 years ago. That's 2 years ago I put the piece out, Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon run. And by the way, I don't deserve any kudos or any accolades on this front. I mean, this is like going, Alex Jones said that the Yankees baseball team is in New York. And I went and looked, and it's in New York. Man, that guy is, whoa, that guy's smart. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, I've never heard of somebody this smart. And it's not that the general public's stupid. They're experts in mindless garbage. That's what Bernays and the psych warfare chiefs 80, 90 years ago wrote multiple books on bragging. Let's not call it the Department of War. Let's call it the Department of Defense. Let's have feminists smoke cigarettes. This unlady liked to smoke cigarettes, so women weren't buying them. And let's say it's feminist to smoke cigarettes, then we'll get a new market. It's all about manipulating you. Well, I want to tell you all the magic tricks. And what's funny is they've all written blueprints how they're doing it. They're that arrogant. I mean, it was in the news. Because the press is controlled, but they're just yes men. They're not even operatives, most of them. It was in the news. Al-Qaeda trained at U.S. bases. This colonel went public, Colonel Butler. Al-Qaeda trained at this air base. Al-Qaeda trained at this Navy base. Al-Qaeda went to this defense language school. Yes, the head of the embassy says they were ordered to let Al-Qaeda in by name. There was a secret program with Muhammad Atta. I mean, and then I went and I interviewed Springman and I interviewed the people and I called him and I went, folks, all I know is the hijackers were double U.S. agents, bare minimum. This should be a news item. Hey, folks, they're buying billions of bullets. There are no bullets. There are no armored vehicles. No one, the government doesn't run Al-Qaeda, even though it's all admitted. And now Muhammad Karzai is running around saying this. And again, I don't agree with him. Because I just want to agree. I know this story's true. We had army generals and colonels go public in the Times of London and San Francisco Chronicle about the airlift of evil in 2002, saying they would capture Taliban generals, they would capture Al-Qaeda commanders, and they would be ordered, release them. But wait, don't just release them. Here is a chest of gold bars. You know how much a large chest was described to each person? To go start their new operation in Pakistan. And it's incredible how they BS these top Muslims because they're all part of these weird Masonic Muslim lodges and they really think they're part of the Red Fez Brigade and all this weird stuff and there's this back channel. But really, it's just criminals on top. And even the suicide bombers think they're fighting America. And all they're adding is a simulant so that there are real people killing our troops. So there's an excuse to be there. See, if there aren't people killing our troops, there's no reason to be there. So you don't... This is so amazing. It's on record that they took like 10, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids and put them in rings, in ditches, in trenches, in the weeks before 9/11, knowing the attack was coming. It was all staged to fight for Allah, CIA, Al-Qaeda commanding them. And then they weren't allowed to attack the actual cities with the bombardments. They just killed kids as a simulant for our news cameras to say, look, we've gone and invaded. I mean, let me tell you, is that not evil? Is that not incredible? And that's all that's going on here, folks.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation,
It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, the known opium dealer whose brother was the admitted top opium dealer in the world, Muhammad Karzai, has come out in a major speech saying that the United States is running Al-Qaeda and Taliban and bombing bases and bombing hotels as a pretext to stay there. Now, he's a horrible thug, but a dictator. They have fake elections put in by the West. It's not the U.S. government. It's the criminal globalist that are running Al-Qaeda. And here's a report I filed on March 31st, 2011, titled Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon Run, Breaking It All Down. Again, the fact is the Al-Qaeda is used to take over countries. It's used to threaten America. It's used to bring in world government. Al-Qaeda works for the globalist. Here it is. The system thinks you're stupid. They think you're morons. And I'm about to cover one of the biggest examples of this in modern history. One of the biggest hoaxes I've ever seen. Anyone who's followed the news for the last few decades, anyone who's researched admitted mainline history, knows that Al-Qaeda was CIA created with the backing and support of the Saudi Arabians and the Israelis, as well as Pakistani intelligence. Zbigniew Brzezinski's written two books bragging that in 79, they created the group, had them attack the Russians to get them to then invade Afghanistan so that the Soviets could have their, quote, Vietnam. This is a fact. And the Muslim brigades being controlled by British intelligence goes back to Lawrence of Arabia. And then Hitler took over the Middle East during the first few years of World War II, and they went over to his control. But the hoax is that in the attack against the Serbs to take over Serbia, it was admitted Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden running those operations. And then NATO came in and bombed all of Serbia, and they were forced to give up one-third of their land basically to Albanian-backed Muslim rebels who were calling themselves Al-Qaeda. Then, of course, we have the attacks of 9/11 and the Newsweek headlines about hijackers trained at U.S. bases and the dean of the Defense Language School coming out and saying that they were trained at U.S. bases. And then you have the Times of London as well reporting on the airlift of evil. Months after the Afghanistan war started, U.S. military and British military captured thousands of top Al-Qaeda and Taliban commanders, and they would be ordered to release them and fly them out into Pakistan to start the next wave of destabilization. So Al-Qaeda, on record, is a CIA slash British slash Israeli slash Saudi Arabian creation. And they're used all over the world. And then you add to that Fox News, AP, last October 2010 reporting, Anwar al-Awlaki, the guy they're now saying is more powerful than Osama bin Laden, trained in the U.S., ran the underwear bombing, the Christmas Day event, ran the Fort Hood shooting, ran the Times Square attack. The list goes on and on. The shoe bomber. He's always handling these patsies, and it turns out he's secretly hanging out at the Pentagon when he's been on the most wanted list and getting orders and having dinner with the Secretary of the Army and top brass while he's on the news as the head of Al-Qaeda.
Julie Kurtz joins us from Washington. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, here's what we know. Fox News has learned that Anwar al-Awlaki, the American Muslim cleric, remember him, with a worldwide following, dined with military brass at the Pentagon within months of the 9/11 attacks.
Now, you add to this hoax now that the openly Western-funded rebels in the east of Libya, and I'm not saying Gaddafi's a good guy. The point is the West overthrew Egypt and its own puppet to the east of Libya. They've brought down Tunisia. Now it's admitted that British special forces were inside eastern Libya even before the latest rebellion started. So Al-Qaeda rebels, and it's admitted that the head of the Libyan rebels was trained by the CIA for decades in Virginia, and he admits that he's working with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. And so I have to get up here and either say no to this hoax and expose the facts or say I'm a bad American. Because I refuse to say that now Al-Qaeda are freedom fighters and great people. I must refuse to be ignorant and not face the facts of history. But the average gullible person out there who buys into the system, will make the decision to say, oh, I guess Al-Qaeda is good. It's like 1984. We've never been at war with East Asia. And the next day, we've always been at war with East Asia. And if you pointed out that, well, you said we were at war with them yesterday, but we're not at war today, and that we were never at war, then you get arrested in that system. And that's basically where this country and where the West is going, where the system thinks we're so stupid that Western intelligence is in the east of Libya using radical Muslim Al-Qaeda backed out of Saudi Arabia and arms out of Saudi Arabia and Egypt to destabilize Gaddafi. Gaddafi then fights armed force trying to overthrow the government, and our media calls them protesters. Protesters who had tanks and missile launchers and Western weapons. Oh, the poor protesters. And the media lied and said he strafed protesters. Turned out that wasn't true. The media lied and said that he'd run to Venezuela to try to give the rebels support, think they would win. It doesn't mean that there aren't groups in Libya who don't like the goofy dictator Muammar Gaddafi. But Muammar Gaddafi is independent and has tried to build a strong Africa outside of the New World Order. And that's why he must be brought down. He doesn't have an international private central bank running his country. They have their own central bank. And that's why the system is doing this. And they think we have no memory where they're telling us Al-Qaeda's horrible. We've got to take all your liberties in America because they may attack you any minute. The end of the Bill of Rights, freedom is dead, America surrenders and gives up all its rights to Homeland Security to keep us safe because of Al-Qaeda. But then Al-Qaeda, who wants to overthrow the secular Arab leader, Gaddafi, is being brought in to do this, and then we're being told it's humanitarian and we've got to bomb them and attack them to protect them. I mean, think about it, folks. Anwar al-Awlaki, the number one guy under bin Laden, secretly hanging out at the Pentagon. The Taliban and Al-Qaeda being flown out to safety in the first few months of the Afghan war to start the next crisis. Al-Qaeda being used to attack the Serbs. When the Serbs fight back, oh, it's humanitarian, we've got to bomb them. They just move Al-Qaeda around all over the world, call them humanitarian freedom fighters if anybody resists them, and then the UN and NATO comes in and bombs the daylights out of them. But at least with the attack in the 90s against Serbia, they went and got congressional authorization for force. At least Bush with his illegal wars, because they were still wars of aggression, but he went and got the Congress to sign off on it, wasn't engaged in that form of brazen treason. Obama, less than 48 hours after the UN gave that resolution to invade, openly, in front of everyone, he ordered the U.S. military to start bombing and firing cruise missiles when out in the open, the UN had given the order, and Obama hadn't even consulted Congress. This is a huge issue that's taking place here, my friends, and I hope you'll research the fact that Al-Qaeda is an arm of the globalist. Al-Qaeda is an arm of the New World Order. Al-Qaeda is a system that the New World Order uses to menace civilizations into giving up their liberties in the name of protection, and also to go stir up revolutions and wars to then pose as freedom fighters so the globalists have an excuse to come in and take over countries. This is 21st century imperialism. And Al-Qaeda is the key set piece on this game of chess to bring us into the world government. They are a creation of the private banking cartels who are waging wars against the nation state and all basic liberties that defend the rights of the indigenous populations of the nation states. Al-Qaeda is CIA, is MI6, is Mossad, is Saudi Arabian intelligence. And they've caught British SAS dressed up like Al-Qaeda shooting at police in Basra to get Sunnis and Shiites killing each other. I mean, Al-Qaeda is the Swiss Army knife of destabilization. They are that magic go-to tool that's used to foment the crisis so the globalists have the excuse to offer the solution. We've broken down one of the biggest modern ongoing hoaxes in history where you're un-American if you don't support the freedom fighters of Al-Qaeda. Well, I don't support them, and I don't agree with what Ronald Reagan said about them, saying that they were founding father material. I don't like Al-Qaeda. Now, you may hate me because I don't love Al-Qaeda. I'm not going to apologize. I'm sorry. I hate Al-Qaeda, and I hate their handlers even more. All right, folks, that's my report from 2 years ago. We're going to come back from break and get into the fact that, I mean, I said that months ago when it happened. The West is blowing up major buildings and infrastructure in Afghanistan as an excuse to keep U.S. troops there to get the opium.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I'm just going to cover news for the rest of the 40 minutes we've got left today. No calls. I'll be taking calls tomorrow on the weekday show, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., because I've got so much I need to get to. If you're a new listener and you're saying, well, what do you mean Al-Qaeda works for our government? They attacked us on 9/11. You have to stop thinking the government at the top is like you. You don't cheat on your, quote, taxes, even though they're a fraud paid to the private Federal Reserve. You don't cheat on your wife. You're a nice guy. You're a nice lady. That's not how everybody else is. And if you've read a history book, you'd know how other governments operated, and you'd recognize what's happening. The worst criminals have gotten in government, put there by select globalist corporations that operate as governments themselves. Of the 100 biggest economies, more than half of them are corporations. You understand that? And they're cutthroat. And they want to shut down their competition. And they want to take over countries. And they want to destabilize areas. And so the West radicalized Muslims. The British did it about 100 years ago to take over the Middle East. Hitler came in and took over from them, kicked them out for a while. Look this up. It's all mainline history. Look up the Boxer Rebellion, how the Chinese, 160-170 years ago, made opium illegal. We can punch up an article about the opium wars. And because they made it illegal, it made there be a black market, so British intelligence was able to take over China and implode the country. Well, that's all our drug war is. They make drugs illegal so they can ship them in and make higher profits, but then use the breakdown of society as a pretext to then imprison everybody. So I'm going to explain this. Foreign megabanks run the CIA. They run the UN. They have diplomatic immunity. They're kicking out scores of top generals who won't go along with this right now. And now Mohammad Karzai, after almost 13 years, he's a mafia don. He's an opium king. He's really the mayor of Kabul. He is being checkmated by Al-Qaeda and Taliban now, who's been trying to kill him and who killed his brother. And since they killed his brother a few years ago, he's come out against the West because they're trying to double-cross him, just like they double-crossed Saddam, who they put in. And he's saying, hey, you're running Al-Qaeda. You're running the opium. Don't you try to do this to me. Don't you ever think about that. So it's not that I trust him. I know this is already true. And it's amazing to see how the media is handling it. Troubles mount for Hagel on first Afghan visit. That's how they spin it, but we put the headline on it. Afghan leader alleges U.S. Taliban colluding. That's actually the AFP headline. And let's punch up DrudgeReport.com. Drudge Report gets it right. He has a link to Reuters, where they break down this fact. You guys can just punch up my screen if you want. There you go for TV viewers. Karzai accuses U.S. Taliban of collaborating. And Afghanistan Karzai blasts U.S. marring Hagel visit. He goes through to say the bombing is a destabilization program. Folks, it came out in court. The Iraqi government, put in by our government, caught repeatedly U.S., British, Israeli, Pakistani, Afghan, and what was the other one? Ukrainian mercenaries. Look this up. This is in the London Guardian. Dressed up like Wahhabist Muslims, Sunnis, shooting Shiites, trying to get a sectarian war going in 2005, 2006, 2007. And it got so bad, I had the former top CIA advisor to Ronald Reagan on, Ray McGovern, White House briefer for Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr. I had him on, and he broke down when it first happened. They blew up the Golden Mosque, and let's get Ray McGovern back on, by the way, folks, on this Karzai thing this week. Go after McGovern. Thank you. Put a note on that. You know, high-level CIA, because they're not all criminals, folks. They don't like what's happening. They blew up the Golden Mosque. What was that, in 2008? To get the Muslims all killing each other, and said the Sunnis had blown up the Shiite mosque, or was it vice versa? You see, when you realize it's not America versus the Muslims, it's not It's not Israel versus the Muslims. It's not. It's globalist versus everybody creating crises to destroy economies so they can come in and buy everything up cheap, or so they can have wars for no-bid contracts, or so they can get the oil and then shut the oil off to increase the profits in their other oil holdings. You know, there's a lot of evidence that Hugo Chavez probably worked for the globalists because he actually cut back on oil production, which is what they'd ordered Saddam to do in 1990, but he wanted to pay off the national debts. He was driving down oil prices to, what, 75 cents, 65 cents a gallon? Oh, since we got all that oil, did prices go up or down? They went up. Venezuela cuts off the oil. The West gets control of Iraq. They cut production because OPEC wants production cut. And who's the head of that? Saudi Arabia. And who runs Al-Qaeda? Saudi Arabia. Who took over Libya? Who's taken over Syria? Who provides the commandos? Who funds Al-Qaeda? Saudi Arabia. Where the hijackers come from? I don't know if they really hijacked or what really happened. I know that they were in the news as U.S. agents. And U.S. officers, colonels went public and said, Muhammad Atta trained in my class, AP Reuters. And I called the colonel up. First, it was in the San Jose Mercury News. And I said, sir, I'd like you on. He said, listen, I'm getting threats. They're going to court-martial me. I heard some woman going, they've already threatened you. Get off that phone. Click. 2 days later, the court-martial begins. National security violation. He violated national security. Muhammad Atta, the lead hijacker, and four others were in his class for a year. Because the dean also caught classes. He taught spies. He taught code breaking. He taught the hijackers he saw on the news were in his class. How dare you say 9/11 is an inside job? What does that mean? It's a fact. I don't know the whole details. It's like a criminal investigation. It's like we've dug up a body in somebody's backyard. A kid's been missing for 3 years. Somebody says, you know, we got a tip that he did something with the kid. You get a warrant, you go dig it. There's a skeleton of a little kid in the backyard. It matches the dental records. I'm saying that the globalists pulled off 9/11. They're like, you haven't convicted him. When did he grab the kid? All I know is the dead kid's in his backyard, and he's the prime suspect. Okay? I mean, I could go on for hour after hour after hour with you of the evidence of 9/11. The official story is a fable, a fraud. There was a NORAD stand down. Literally, there's thousands of pieces of evidence. In fact, the first Road to Tyranny, it's online somewhere. I think it's called Road to Tyranny Emergency Release. And it's like 3 hours long. And I just go through hundreds of mainstream articles admitting all this. The thing is, it all gets admitted. It's back of the paper, though. The real propaganda is whatever the cover of the paper is. I'm going to do one more little piece when we come back. My son, a few months ago, he comes up to work once a week. And he came up here, and he wanted to talk about government-sponsored terror. So we cut a little piece called Terrorism 101. We're going to re-air. It's about 2.5 minutes long. Then I'll get into the Southern Poverty Law Center that is a mouthpiece of the Justice Department saying conservatives and libertarians are terrorists and that I'm a terrorist. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So, if you're a group of megabanks, six of them, who've gotten the world to accept derivatives, fake, fiat, counterfeit, digits, fraud, you want a couple things. You want governments that want high taxes because you can selectively set it where you're exempt and that money's transferred to you. And you want to make the governments back up your debt, too big to fail. And you also want to make sure people politically never stand up to you and are never able to take your countries back. And so the exact same program of control is used in Australia, that's used in Europe, that's used in the Middle East, that's used here. They basically say you're a terrorist or an extremist, and then blow stuff up and blame it on you if you don't go along with them. And they stonewall and lie and make things up. I mean, Operation Gladio has been declassified in Italy. NATO's declassified some of it. Some of it's been declassified here. Just in Italy, it was over 200 bombings from the 50s into the 80s, killing hundreds at a time, school buses, train stations, that they would blame on political groups. Conservative, liberal, communist, they didn't care. If your group was getting popular, Operation Gladio, NATO option, just look it up. They would blow up a school bus and say you did it. It's called a frame-up. The czars were real famous for it. But it's even better if you can go hire a group of radical Muslims whose leader is a globalist or just a criminal who are literally under cultural mind control. You don't have to drug them up or anything. They grew up in a dirt village. They were already bombed by the West. They already hate you. They don't know they're working for the West. And they will come and blow you up. They will come and suicide bomb you. And then you get to take the people's liberties and have a multi-trillion dollar every decade defense budget domestically and have the defense take over domestically. So you make money off the contracts while you militarize the society. And Eisenhower, our president, warned us about this. So they always spin it like, you don't like military checkpoints? You're anti-military. Really? Our military doesn't like having checkpoints. Our military knows it's unconstitutional. Our military still remembers the Constitution and their oath. It's the military that's the most against this. Here's a Daily Mail article. Special Forces axe their plan to infiltrate Utah and tame the indigenous population after locals complain about exercises imposing martial law. And they've always had this training drill, but some cops, when they tried to disarm cops, killed them a few years ago in North Carolina. You can look that up. So they moved the 10th Special Forces Group out to Utah. But here's the deal. That's the cover. The cover in the program Robin Sage is that I talked to the chief of police, Ale Philippus, in 1998. The film is online. It's in the my film, Police State 2000. And they tried to bribe him. They came with buckets of cash and had already bought off the whole city council. See, they use an exercise as the cover. This is no exercise. They've bought off almost every major police department and government facility and system. Or if they say no, they're marked down as not being part of it. And the crazy part is they first send in the trainees to make everybody think it's a drill. And then a year later, they send in Delta Force. And most of what Delta Force does is not shimmying down ropes. It is coming in plain clothes and buying off your SWAT team commanders, your police chiefs, the local top preachers. Oh, you don't believe me? Ale Philippus, Alex Jones interviews San Antonio police chief. It's all over the internet. Go watch the video. And he was former Army intelligence in Vietnam. He knew infiltration. He knew this is what they did in Vietnam. He's like, this is bad. Thomas Sanchez in the late 90s, former Special Operations Vietnam, knew what was happening when they came to him with this same thing. See, a lot of these vets that have done this to other countries who are in Special Forces or Black Ops, they're like, well, what do you mean? We've done this before. What are you doing? I'm not going to be part of this. And that's the big problem the globalists have is the people, the old timers have already seen all this and they're blowing the whistle. It was old timers in the 60s warned everybody, like Eisenhower. It was old timers who said they're going to take over with a global corporate government. See, we've been warned, folks. That's why we got a chance to beat this. I just got chills just now. The system isn't that powerful. It needs us to play along with their cover stories. But if we talk about what's happening before it becomes mainstream, people will then understand the backstory when it happens. If you tell them after it happens, they'll buy the cover story. Like, I remember going to the Travis County SWAT team because I knew they were visiting every major city and trying to pay them off. So I said, you'll be visited by Delta Force soon with money. They're going to try to get you to surveil people, including the county leaders, and try to sheep dip you into the CIA. And Lieutenant Beck goes, I'm a Vietnam sniper veteran. Get out of my office. Our government would never do that. You are a nut, Jones. Called me a couple months later and he goes, can you come down here? I got the guy's card. How did you know all this? Exactly what you said happened. They fired him after that, though. I mean, it's just crazy. Get out of my office, you nut. I said I'd talk to you, but that's crazy. That isn't going on. Because that was before the internet. It was really big, and I couldn't show him the interview. And I said, no, I got an interview with the police chief. It's happening. Well, whatever. I got stuff to do. There's no Delta Force infiltrating Texas. Let's go to break with a clip of my son. People say, why is he wearing a Guy Fawkes mask for watching on TV? To cover his identity. And if he's going to wear a Guy Fawkes mask, then he does a British accent. So that's why he does that. But here is my son, who wrote this on his own, listening to the show. My son on Terrorism 101. And then we'll come back with the top stories straight ahead. Here it is.
Hello, your friendly neighborhood patriot here for an episode of How Terrorism Really Works. First off, our terrorist group needs a scary name. Can you say El Ciaida? Let's try again. El Ciaida. Ah, it does roll off the tongue. El Ciaida. It's a perfect name. Now let's say the green piece here represents the terrorists. The terrorists then move into Pakistan or Afghanistan or whatever stan is not under banker control. The media then joins in to hype up the terror threat.
Dry hand operates with impunity from safe havens inside Pakistan. Quite blunt, he's looking about the border raid into Afghanistan and not into the top.
Once the terror threat is established, the banksters, puppets, send in the troops to take out the terrorists they put in there in the first place. Then the bankers install their own dictator to take control of the resources and oppress the people. As a bonus, the banks, via the black ops and intelligence agencies, will then ship the drugs back into the host country so they can imprison their own citizens for using the drugs, make huge profits selling the drugs, which finance other terror operations around the globe, and the cherry on the top is billions upon billions made on money laundering operations for the bankers.
In a sense, you're watching as this opium is being grown. I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
And if the citizens of the host country get wise to these schemes or get uppity, the banks via media will hype a nuclear terror threat or an underwear bomber or a Christmas tree bomber. Any excuse to take the American people's rights. Well, that just about wraps it up for Terrorism 101, How Terrorism Really Works. I'm your friendly neighborhood patriot. And now remember what Big Brother and other authoritarians say. Whatever you do, don't visit Infowars.com. Oh no, the control freaks don't like it. Ugh.
All right, there is my 10-year-old son. Did that a couple months ago. Airing that here for TV viewers. If you're a radio listener, it's a whole other dimension if you're watching on InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to come back and just jam in all the news I haven't gotten to in the final segment, and I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. And by the way, thank God I'm here on air. I am so blessed to be able to relay this information to you, and I'm so humbled. When a bunch of people showed up, you know, for a rally for the First Amendment yesterday, just with their children and things, it really humbles me. So I want to thank all our supporters and fellow liberty lovers. I salute you. We are brothers in arms, sisters in arms. God bless you. You're just amazing people.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
And a lot of people hear all this news and they say, well, what's the point? Well, the point is, when you stand up, you have a free country. When you roll over, you're a slave. I mean, it's real simple. There are good people, there are bad people. There are different forces in the universe, and so many people act like they have no power. You have incredible power. You know, I saw the article a few days ago, Japan mouse clone, 26 generations and still going, 500-plus mice clones total. I don't see how that's 26 generations, but whatever. And, I mean, I remember reading about clones they had 30 years ago of humans. And then I seen mainstream news articles going, Jones claims there's human clones already. He's insane. It just shows how the public has no idea what's even going on. They kill the clones in the test tubes. So they argue that's not a human, so it's not a clone, or so it hasn't been brought to term. Or they'll add cow genes, pig genes to it. They've been doing that for at least 20 years. and then say it's not human because it's 1% pig, so it has no rights. And reportedly, in all those different underground bases and government facilities and corporate facilities, they have just got some hellish stuff. But it doesn't have rides because it's not human. You know, it's 1% jellyfish. It's like little monkeys. I remember them reading like 15 years ago they were selling in South Korea that were part jellyfish that people can buy, rhesus monkeys that glow in the dark. And then every time I mention that, people send me emails going, you liar, there's no such thing. I mean, the public is like in the 1950s. I mean, I can't even get people to understand that they publicly run Al-Qaeda. The globalists want you bankrupt under Agenda 21. They want your guns. There's all these books written by the science czar, John P. Holdren, and others about spiking food and water and vaccines to sterilize you. The UN's been caught doing it. And then people still like, oh, I trust the government. I'm going to take the vaccines. Or there are too many people. Like you're part of the establishment, like you got the memo not to drink the fluoride water. No, the people that think they're part of the establishment, they all go along with the diet drinks with the aspartame that on record that they now admit in new studies, CBS News, causing type 2 diabetes to skyrocket. I had scientists on 10 years ago telling you that. I mean, this is life and death stuff here. This isn't like it's, oh, that crazy guy, Alex Jones. You're going to find out how crazy. We're basically now in the basement of a society, of a technological system. And under national and corporate security, they're building the future. And we're not part of it. Why the future doesn't need us, as Bill Joy said. He went to that tech conference. This is now 13 years ago. He was worth $4 billion then. He's worth even more. Founder of Sun Microsystems, you know, and Baldwin, Google, Apple, all of it. And he said, I met with several hundred top world, you know, owners of tech, and the consensus was we're going to just kill everybody. And they put it on screen, why the future doesn't need us. Our most powerful 21st century technologies, robotics, genetic engineering, and nanotech are threatening to make humans an endangered species. And then people will say, well, there are too many of us. Okay, are you ready to walk the plank? And the point is, we'll probably destroy ourselves even if we didn't try. The establishment is doing everything they can with thousands of companies with gene guns, randomly splicing human animal RNA, DNA, animals and humans, DNA, virus, RNA, you know, just splicing everything with plants, you name it, open air, horrible new diseases, allergies, life expectancy dropping, all these new problems. The government's building underground bunkers, emergency seed vaults while telling us we're kooks if we dig in. It's crazy. And then I'm somebody who wants humanity to make it. I'm somebody who wants there to be a future. Not because I'm some goody two-shoe. I want to survive. I want my kids to have a future. I want your kids to have a future so they can be together in the future and their children. I mean, I just have goodwill. Is that so bad? Is that so rare that I get upset by tyranny? I get upset by South by Southwest goons walking around, guys going, you can't hand stuff out on the street. We say so. We got big muscles. I mean, I get fundamentally angry at that. Because I have instincts for survival. I have instincts for liberty. And I read all the top globalist publications of how they're building a world government to shut off the resources and then to release bioweapons plagues and how they're going to pose as the saviors while they release them, killing us off in concentric order. And they write books on it and nobody cares? And then their argument is, because I've talked to globalists off record, you know, as a journalist, I wear that hat, and I have a lot of contacts because I don't ever reveal sources. And they're like, Alex, the public would be 10 times more evil than us. They would tear you limb from limb. They don't care, which is evidence of why what we're doing is right. And no, that's not correct, because it is the great's responsibility to build up those that don't know what's happening. And then if somebody does something wrong, you deal with them. And you don't just sit there and put poison in the food and water and raise people on MSG and aspartame from birth so they're brain damaged, which is all on record, and then say, oh, look, they're subhuman, they're dumb, let's kill them. And then I see you globalists are always killing each other. And then you're always going after the smartest and the most beautiful because you're ugly and evil. You're not elite. You are a cancer. And I've said this 100 times. A cancer is not dominant because it kills the tissue collective that is a Homo sapiens sapien, or it is our body suit, our soul suit, our spirit's earth suit. And if cancer had a consciousness, it would believe it was dominant and it was partying and it had total control. No, you're going to kill the body. You're going to kill yourself. But see, cancer is an eternal cell. You know, they've got cell lines you cannot kill. They just keep replicating and never die. And that's why they are coming out with the cancer vaccine, just like the flu vaccine gives you the flu, just on record, just like the shingles vaccine gives you the shingles on record. Look it up. See, but it's so evil and so over the top, people don't know how to respond to something like that. That's so open. The cancer vaccine is going to give people cancer, but they believe within that they're going to find the eternal. Look this up. If you don't believe me, just type in eternal cell line. Guys, do it right now for TV viewers. The elite believe they're going to find an eternal cell line, and they actually call it, and this came from a classified source, the zombie virus. That's why they're hyping zombies. These people are going to inject themselves after they've tested a cancer virus on us with an eternal cell line. Oh, man, they're going to get really mad at this right now. Alarms are going off in Washington. I just released this information. Down one road, they've got a technocratic merger computer. They've got that plan. And then they've got another one where they inject themselves with a super cancer virus that turns the whole body into a cancer. And you're like, well, that'll kill them. No, they're going to test it on us. We're the patient in their practice. They practice on us. We're the human resource. Guys, type in eternal cell line. It'll show Wikipedia, Webster's dictionary. Eternal cell line. They're going to ban most guns, register others, and then they'll ban those in Colorado. They're passing gun bans at the state level all over the country. And, of course, telling you there's no gun ban coming at the same time, that's all going on. Did you guys find my eternal cell line thing? Yeah, there it is, the eternal cell. Yeah, no, that's something else. It's eternal. I'll do it here. Yeah, I'm not seeing it come up, and I don't know why. Yeah, you found it. New findings about how cells achieve eternal life. Yeah, that's tied into it from Science News. But the establishment calls it eternal cell. It's actually got another. It's type in cancer cell lines that do not die. And there's a bunch of famous, there's like people that died in the 50s from cancer, and they've still got those cells. And that's what they put in your vaccines. Yeah, it's the Lazarus cell. Yeah, that's a better way to call it because it's a zombie cell. The Lazarus cell, that's it, which is really a zombie cell. Yeah, it's the Lazarus cell. I end up doing research here on air. The point is I cover a lot of the news. I'll get to all the rest of it and all the latest news tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. If you don't have your local AM or FM carrying it, they're just carrying the Sunday show, ask them to pick up the weekday show, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific, 10 to 1 Mountain. And you can always get the free podcast. Click on the listen link at Infowars.com and find the free iPhone app right there on the site. Okay, that's it for this transmission. I'll cover more on the zombie cells tomorrow. Stay with us. Infowars.com.